So the first thing I was going to say is that there's a very high chance I will end up crying under this thing. And it's happened already. And that's because this isn't just a story. This is what God's done in my life. Warning. And the thing is, if I do end up under there crying, Luke, please take over. And if I'm a fool here today, that's okay, because I'm a fool for Christ, because of what he's done in my life. So the reason I have notes is because I want to try and be faithful with what God wants to say to you guys. There's a lot of stuff that I have left out, which is important to me, but not necessarily important to you guys. So if you do feel like there's little gaps, that might be why. I just want to find the beginning. Cool. Also, I'm going to be vulnerable with you guys and just really share my heart. And the only thing that I hope that happens today is that Jesus finds you guys. Some of you might be saved, some of you might not be saved. Some of you might not even know what saved is, which is where I was when this happened. If Jesus can touch your heart, then that's all I can ask for. So before I actually start, something amazing happened this morning in the worship. The song that we were singing spoke to me directly of what God did to me and did for me. And I just took a picture, and it says, "Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he, to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood." And that really is what I'm going to talk to you about now. Can you put up the 1 Timothy for me? Okay, so 1 Timothy verse 15. "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." The Lord led me to that scripture because it, again, is part of my story. I want to say to you today that I didn't become a Christian because of a fear of hell, or because I thought my life sucked and I needed a change. As a matter of fact, I thought my life was pretty cool at the time. hindsight. I became a Christian because Jesus had mercy on me. I became a Christian because he showed himself to me in my weakest moment. Because the God of all creation actually reached down from heaven and saved my life. And he saved my soul. And he did it in a way that I can never doubt. So that's why I can stand here before you today and say what I'm going to say. Just to give you a bit of context, I was, from the outside, I seemed like the average happy guy. Grew up in a relatively average house, home, family. I had a relatively easy life. I felt like I was a successful person. I really did have a penchant for partying, so much so that pretty much any and every excuse to go out and drink or do drugs or whatever it was that I was doing was good enough for me. I didn't have an off button, so for me the off button was the floor. Not ideal. I started drinking from a relatively young age, and by the time I was in my 20s, I was using most drugs. That sounded bad. I was using most drugs. I would say now that I was a drug addict. Then I probably wouldn't have thought that I was a drug addict, but I would say now that I was a drug addict. And by the time I was 26 years old, which is not that old, now it feels like an eternity ago, I had written off 8 cars. Yes, 8. The joke of the family was that cats have 9 lives and I was on number 8. So the fact that I had not ended up in jail was actually a miracle, because seven of those were either alcohol or drug related. And in fact, the last accident that I had, the eighth one, I'd left the party. I was going to visit Taryn, who was my girlfriend. She lived relatively close to where the party was, so I didn't think twice about driving there. Again, bad decision making. And about 90% of the way to her house, I heard an audible voice say to me, "Put on your seatbelt." Now, granted, by this stage, you're thinking I wasn't on a winning streak for making good life decisions. But when you hear an audible voice, you don't argue. So I literally out loud, I said, "Yes." And I clicked on my seatbelt. So the next thing I remember, I opened my eyes, and in front of me, the notification light for my cell phone was blinking in front of my eyes. And it took me a moment to realize that my phone was actually on the ceiling of my car, that my car was upside down, and that my car was not on the road anymore. And my seatbelt was on. So I unclicked my seatbelt, and I fell onto the ceiling, and I got out the car. The next day, when I went to the accident site, I calculated that it was about 400 meters before where my car had ended up, that I'd heard the voice say, "Put on your seatbelt," which is an incredible miracle, and you would think that that alone is enough to make you decide to change your life. Unfortunately, it wasn't for me. So yeah, I didn't change my heart. I didn't change my life. I didn't start seeking the Lord. Even though I believe to this day that was the Lord that spoke to me, or an angel. One of the two, doesn't matter which one. But I didn't change. And it was about a year later, only about a year later, that I actually found Jesus. Or should I say that he found me. So Taryn and I had gone to a trans party, which was something that we did regularly. It wasn't unusual for us. In my diary, I have this day written down as the day that changed my life. It was the 13th of June, 2008. I feel like it's important for me to tell you guys that I was pretty much completely unchurched. I didn't know the Bible. I didn't believe in the Bible. As a matter of fact, I would probably say that I grouped Christmas, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, and Greek mythology all together. And actually, Luke mentioned it to me this morning. I was unsuspecting in the Lord. I wasn't looking for him. I didn't know that I needed him at all. I was very happy in my life. So back to that night, we obviously went out to the trans party. I don't remember what time I got home. I mean, I remember that we had a good evening, but I don't remember what time I got home. What I do remember, it was freezing cold. That's probably like the one thing that that really stuck out for me that night. It was bitterly cold, absolutely freezing. What I do know is that not long after we did get home and we were in bed, I experienced what is medically known as an LSD psychosis. I don't know if all of you know what that is, but something that happens to your brain when you take too much acid sometimes. And effectively what happens is you lose touch with reality, and I ended up having to fight for my sanity. We know people that this has happened to who never came right afterwards. You can Google it if you want to. From Taryn's perspective, and we've chatted about this many times, so we know each other's perspectives on what happened that night. But from her perspective, all of a sudden, my eyes were open, but nobody was home. So, yeah, interesting experience from her side. For the next 12 hours, roughly 12 hours, I was completely unresponsive. Eyes open most of the time, but nothing there. Except for every now and again, I would look at her and say, who am I? Who are you? Or what's my name? It was a very scary experience. And now is not the time. Now is not the time for me to sit and explain to you what I experienced over those 12 hours. Maybe another time over a very long lunch. at one point, I remember I'd lost that battle for my sanity. I remember losing the battle, and I was looking at Taryn, and I can still remember this vividly. I was looking at Taryn, and all of a sudden, I just saw all bright colors just swirling and swishing in front of me, and nothing real, nothing tangible, just bright colors, and then blackness. And I was gripped with fear. So I can still, again, I still remember this vividly. And sometimes when I really just want to find the Lord, I just close my eyes and I remember that moment. I actually did it in worship this morning as well. Because all of a sudden in that place, I felt this love. I felt this incredible love come over me and acceptance like I've never felt before. It was all-encompassing. And the only way that I can explain it, and I've pretty much tried to find a way to explain it for many years now, but the only way that I can explain it to you is that I was totally immersed in a sea of warm oil. It's like I was just dipped in the sea of warm oil. And it was just enveloped all over me. What I saw was like billions of lights just everywhere around me. Billions of little lights everywhere. And there was they had like a warm glow to them. I don't remember seeing Jesus. I know some people have seen Jesus. I don't remember seeing Jesus. But what I do remember is talking to him. I remember sitting and speaking with him. To me, it felt like a lifetime. It felt like a lifetime. It felt like an eternity that I was with him. And he told me many things, and again, that's not for today. But I remember saying to him, and it rings in my ears every time I say it, I said, I have to tell everyone about you. Then I remember he touched my head, and I was awake. From Taryn's perspective, again, I was completely gone. She thought I'd lost it. She'd actually called her brother and her mother to come and check on me and decide whether or not they were going to take me to hospital. Because this is like 12 hours later now, it's the middle of the day. They'd all said, well, let's just see what happens. Awkward. So from her perspective, I was gone. Again, for most of the time, for those 12 hours, my eyes were open, but nobody was home, except for me saying, who are you and who am I? And then, all of a sudden, I looked at her, completely normal, like nothing was wrong, like nothing had happened. And my first words to her were, do you have a Bible? She'd never heard those words from me before. she was in a bit of a state, obviously. Which I was oblivious to. She was in a bit of a state, but she managed to find me a Bible. And I took the Bible, I went outside, I sat at a bench, and I started to read. And about 4 hours later, it had become too dark to actually continue to read on the bench. So I closed the Bible, and And I truly prayed for the first time in my whole life. And I said something along these lines. I said, Lord, I believe you are real. And I know what I experienced. But it was a bit crazy. I said, can you please just confirm that it was real and that it was you? Because it could, from where I was sitting, it could have been a lot of possible things. So I just asked him, just confirm that it was real and just confirm that it was you. And then another thing happened. I zoomed out. I saw myself sitting on the bench. Then I saw the world. Then I saw what looked like space. What looked like billions of stars and galaxies. And then there was one of them was just a lot brighter than the rest of them. And I felt like he pointed at that one and he said to me, that's you. And I got it. And then I literally zoomed back in to where I was sitting on the bench. And I was looking through my own two flesh eyes again. And I got up and I walked inside and I walked to Taryn. And the next words that came out of my mouth were, we need to go to church. So you can imagine from her side, we've lived a completely, we'd never spoken about the Bible, we'd never spoken about church. We'd been living our lives happily and freely in our own minds. And now for 12 hours I've been gone, and the first two things that come out of my mouth are, do you have a Bible and we need to go to church? So she actually was amazing, and she didn't hesitate. She just was like, yes. So she took it very seriously. She picked up the phone straight away, and she phoned a friend of hers, actually one of her best friends from her childhood, who she knew was a Christian, or had been a Christian, actually. And she said to her, this is facts that I've checked with Taryn, because I don't necessarily remember it exactly the same way. But she said with her, we need to find a church, and we need a church that has life, and we need a church that has Jesus. So her friend, who was obviously quite stunned, she said that she had visited a church, and its name was Joshua Generation Church. Yeah. And she said that was the church we needed to visit. And in fact, she was so stunned. Now, she was no longer in church. She was no longer serving the Lord. She was so stunned that she said, I'll come with you. Because she knew us. She's like, if you guys can get to church, I'll come with you. So the first time we went, it was actually a gathering. I didn't know what a gathering was then. It was my first time. I just thought, this is how church is done at this place. And it was amazing. It was full, and the people were jumping up and down, which I thought was a bit weird, but that was cool. I was like, okay. And that day I gave my life, actually. The first time I walked into church ever in my whole life, well, that wasn't the first time I walked into church. I'd gone in once or twice when I was a child. But the first time, that time I went into church and I gave my life to the Lord. But unfortunately, the flesh is weak, and I struggled from the time I got home. Actually, we went home and we smoked a joint, I'll be honest. And I struggled to give up weed for a month, pretty much a month exactly. And the entire month, the Lord spoke to me. Graciously and full of mercy, he spoke to me, and he said, Richard, you can't do this. Richard, you can't do this. And every time I did it, he said, Richard, you can't do this. And the warnings got stronger and stronger and stronger. And a month later, it was overwhelming. I knew that I could not live my life this way anymore. My mercy and my grace had run out. I didn't know what those were, but I felt it in my heart that I can't do this anymore. I need to go back. So a month later, we went back to this Joshua Generation Church. And it was the next gathering. So my first two churches were gathering. So I thought, this is a cool place. This is how church is done. And Ryan Kingsley was preaching. Yes, you have a gift. Well, you had a gift. He's gone now. But you're getting another gift. It's fine. So Ryan Kingsley was, some would say preaching, some would say teaching, doesn't matter. And he was, I remember this so vividly, he was teaching on Song of Songs. And very quickly, I had this realization that I had never felt a love that he was explaining. I had never experienced a love that he was explaining. I didn't know that it was possible, and I didn't think I was capable of it. And within a few minutes, I was lying on the floor under my chair, snorting, and ugly crying, like that type of cry. I couldn't see, like, this whole thing. But I realized that I had felt a love like that once before, which was that time when the Lord had saved me. Yeah. And it took me back to that place. And that day, that evening, on the floor, under my chair, plastic chair, before the preacher was probably even halfway through, I gave my heart to Jesus. And I want you to see this, because the first time I went, I gave him my life, but I hadn't given him my heart. And the second time I went, I gave him my heart as well. And I can tell you, it's two different things. And he delivered me of everything, under my chair, under a plastic chair. Nobody touched me. Nobody prayed for me. He delivered me of everything. I got up after that. Donovan Colton did an altar call. I ran up to the front, who he actually said, come, put up your hand. I'll tell you the way it actually happened. So I put up my hand. He said, does anyone want to give their lives to Jesus Christ? And I put up my hand, and then Taryn knocked me. He said, you did this last time. So I didn't know any better. I was like, oh, okay, I've done this already. I don't need to do it again. Put my hand down. Awkward. And then Donovan said, oh, I saw a hand. You know? I was like, oh, no. I have to explain to him what happened last time. And he said, can you come up? And I was like, okay. I ran up to the front. Then he said, can you come on the stage? And I said, okay, I'll come on the stage. And then he asked me to tell what had happened. And then I explained that I'd been here a month before and I'm back now. But I said to him, this time I know I've given my heart to Jesus. And I said, this time I know that I cannot compromise. That I need to do it his way, not my way. And I knew in my heart that if I didn't do it his way, I wouldn't last. I knew in my heart if I didn't do it his way, I would go back. And I would fall back to the life that I had. Yeah, I knew I wouldn't make it if I didn't do it his way. About 4 days later, I witnessed my first deliverance, which as a new Christian is quite an experience. And it wasn't a short one either. So it was eye-opening, to say the least. But I realized that the battle is real. There's a real fight out there between good, the kingdom of good, and the kingdom of evil. That there's a real fight for lives, and that there's a real fight for souls. And I knew which side I wanted to be on. I didn't want to be back on the other side, especially when I saw that deliverance thing happening over there. I was like, I don't want that. I don't want to be, oh, I don't want that to have access to me ever again. I also think that it's important that I mention to you guys that I did nothing. I did nothing to deserve His mercy. I did nothing to deserve His mercy. As a matter of fact, I didn't even know that I needed it. I thought I was fine. I thought life was cool. But He had mercy on me in that place. He found me in that place. And for almost 12 years now, we've been in Josh Jen, for almost 12 years now, the Lord has had my heart and my life. And I have felt His love constantly. There has never been a moment in the last 12 years that I have not felt His love, that I have not felt His hand on my life and His heart on my life. And every single day, now, I'm aware of how much I need His mercy. I didn't know I needed His mercy before, but I know how much I need His mercy now, every single day. And He's intimately involved in every part of my life. And I can call Him faithful. I can call Him faithful in my life. I am saved because I know Jesus. And I'm also saved because He knows me. And I think we also need to understand the difference there. I know that Jesus loves me. I feel it every day. I feel it all the time. But I also know that He loves you. And He loves every single one of us in this room today. And actually, none of us have done anything to deserve it. There's not a single person in this room today that can say that we deserve His love, that we deserve His mercy. Whether you're a saint or whether you're an elder or wherever you are in the church, it doesn't matter. Actually, even if you're here for the first time, it doesn't matter. Not one of us can stand here and say that we deserve anything from Him. So I just want to read a scripture. If you can, put the one Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3 on. So, no, not that one. Got it on my phone if I need to. Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. I've got it, yeah, it's fine. Okay. So just with what I've said to you today, If you're struggling with it in your head, what happened with me, the experience that I had, I want you to hear this. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. The Son speaks to us now. He can come and speak to us at any time, whether we are seeking Him or not. I think it's better that we are seeking Him. But even if you're not seeking Him, He can still come and break into your life. Luke mentioned earlier how the knife edge, the razor blade between heaven and hell, between knowing the Lord and not knowing the Lord, between going to heaven and not going to heaven. I had 8 major car accidents. Actually had more. I only wrote off 8 cars. Any one of those could have been the end for me. Actually, there were multiple times in my life where I did stupid things and I almost died. But somehow God had mercy on me. Somehow Jesus had mercy on me. Somehow He broke into my life and I didn't die. And I'm not in hell right now. And I'm here with you guys, hopefully lifting up your faith and lifting up your hope. Because the one thing I can tell you is that hope is real, but hope is a person. He's a person. He's alive. His name is Jesus Christ, and He's real. And He's flesh and He's blood. And any one of you can know Him today, and hopefully most of you do. But if you don't, I think now might be a good time. So I actually want to just ask if you haven't felt His love before. And maybe you asked, maybe you have given your life, maybe you haven't. Maybe you are seeking His love, maybe you aren't. But right now, if you've never felt it, do you want to? Because it's available. He is available. He's here. He's with us. And if you are, if you have given your life and you have given your heart and you want more of Him, then He's also here for that. Because He's intimately involved in our lives. And He wants to lift up our faith and He wants you to know Him.